at the Orioles Museum. Lisa Fine, Shirley Bradley. We're going to be interviewing Norma Grimwood on Real Memories.
Wood at the museum. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Norma Grimwood, March 26th, 1992. Need some information about where you live and
where I live now?
Yeah.
616.
616.
Fenton. F-E-N-T-O-N. Okay. Lansing.
And just some information about you, even though I know you're probably going to be talking about your father's family, right,
mm-hmm.
mostly.
Mm-hmm.
Where you were born.
Lansing.
Lansing. And you went to school here.
Yes. Lived here all my life.
Okay. That's easy.
Born in the house my parents moved into when they got married.
Oh, really?
My brother, too.
And where was that?
214 Moores River Drive. The house is still there. My grandson lives in it.
And they owned it? Your parents owned the house? And they moved in there when they got married?
When they got married.
What year is that?
1921.
Wow. And how many other children did they have besides you? Or were you it?
Oh, no, I have a brother. That's all.
Okay. That's all I need for my phone. Shoot, Charlie.
Why don't you lead off?
Oh, okay. Well, I guess since I don't know it, Shirley probably knows more than I do about your background, and since she knows you from here. You said your father worked at the Rio since 1918. Is that right?
Right.
And what was his name?
Gustav. G-U-S-T-A-V.
Uh-huh.
L-E-Y-R-E-R.
Okay. Was he from the United States?
Born in Seaboard. Up in the Thumb area.
Oh, okay. I'm not that familiar with that. I just asked him.
Moved down here in Lansing when he was about 3 or 4. So
okay.
He's always, practically always lived in Lansing.
And were his parents farmers up there? Or miners
mm-hmm.
or farmers?
Yeah, farmers.
Okay.
Came originally from Germany.
He did.
No.
His family did.
Family did.
Yeah, that's why I wondered because of his name. Gustav is not mm-hmm. a usual American name. They were from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then they moved up to
the Thumb area.
The Thumb area and
mm-hmm.
farmed. And then he came down here with his folks? Or?
Yes, they all moved down here.
Uh-huh. Why?
To get jobs.
Okay, so they weren't doing that well as farmers.
Well, I was about
or?
To tell you, there were nine boys. And at one
he
time.
He was one of nine boys?
Uh-huh. And at one time, they all worked at the Rio.
Wow.
All of them.
Oh, my goodness. I wish they were all right here.
He started in 1918. Do you know when they moved down to Lansing? The family? The nine boys
well,
and the parents?
Well, it would have been.
A before then? Oh, no, much earlier.
Yeah, much earlier,
was
because he was only about 3 or 4.
So around the year 1900
mm-hmm.
almost.
I would think
the
so.
Turning at the turn of the century,
mm-hmm.
they moved down to Lansing. And they moved down for his dad to get a job?
Yes.
Did his dad work in an automobile?
No, actually. I don't really know. But I think he worked at, well, Shirley's aware, Seeger Engine Works.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I think that's where he worked.
Stationary engines.
Oh, okay.
Have on display.
Right, because the Rio wasn't even around that early.
Not then.
Yeah.
Not then.
Mm.
No.
Did your dad get any kind of technical training, or did he just go right into the shop after school?
Graduated from, well, his dad never graduated, actually. My father only went as far as the eighth grade.
Went to eighth grade in Lansing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then he went, then he started to work.
Uh-huh.
And he worked,
right at the Rio first job?
No. I don't know where he worked in his first job.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't.
Hmm. He was pretty young. It could have been selling papers or something.
But he was very young when he went to the
yeah.
Rio. And as I told you, he retired from there in 1961.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And they had him with 42 years of seniority, but that wasn't the entire, that was not all of his seniority because, as I told you, the personnel files burned
mm-hmm.
while he was in the Army.
Where did they live? Where did he and his family live?
Right there on Moores River Drive.
They lived on?
His parents lived at 212.
Oh.
And so when he married, he bought a house
next
down
door.
The street?
My grandparents owned both houses.
Oh.
And when my parents
I see.
Got married, they bought the one that was right next.
Was he the oldest?
No, youngest.
He was the youngest. Oh, he was the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Now, what did your dad do when he worked at the RIA?
I assume on the line.
He was an assembler. Mm-hmm.
Just a regular laborer, whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
When he retired, he was in the experimental department.
What was he doing?
I gave the museum the amphibious things, and that's what he was working
on. Oh, on the Eager Beaver.
Oh, he was for the Army, or for the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
The Navy contract.
Mm-hmm.
So he really worked his way up, didn't he?
Oh,
he started right there at the bottom floor, on the shop floor, and he worked
and
his
he
way
went
up.
From, and he was a superintendent at one time, and he was in the union at one time, and there was a steward at one time.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only place he ever worked.
Did he, in the early years, whatever you remember, you know, obviously I know you're a kid, so
mm-hmm.
it's hard.
Yeah.
You don't think about the world in the same way that your parents
no.
do.
Oh, I didn't either.
Do you remember him participating, or the family maybe participating in some of the kind of activities that the RIA offered?
Oh, yes, and I don't think they actually performed, but there was they had a real band at one time, which
right.
they had band concerts, and they used to go to that.
Uh-huh.
What else did they have? Of course, there was the RIA clubhouse where the movies went on.
Right, you would all go to that?
And we would all go to that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, they were always in all the parades and all that, you know.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, my father was quite old, was older, and it was before he retired, and he used to drive. They had a little RIA pickup truck
mm-hmm.
that was on display in the clubhouse all the time, but when there was a parade, that went in the parade, and my father drove it.
Oh.
Probably was a speed wagon.
Yeah.
It was like a little truck. It was very, very small.
Oh, like a miniature camping
mm-hmm.
truck?
Oh,
okay.
Huh.
Not a RIA.
Not the baby.
Not
the baby RIA.
Yeah.
But it wasn't something in production you see out on the street normally.
At one time, I suppose it would have been, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It was not a miniature. It was a full size, but it was a very small truck. I remember seeing that. It had stake racks on the back.
Oh, like a compact truck.
Mm-hmm.
How about any of the sports stuff? RIA's had...
Yes,
teams.
My dad played on the ball team.
Oh,
the baseball or the baseball team?
And before my husband went in the Navy, he played on the team.
Oh.
Your husband worked there too?
Mm-hmm. 5 years.
When did he hire him?
I have it done. 1941.
Oh, just, 1941. Just before the war.
1946.
And what was his name?
Don.
What is his name? Don?
Mm-hmm. I told you this was a family affair. My brother worked there.
Mm-hmm.
Lee worked there. My brother worked there from 46 to 52.
Uh-huh.
And my uncle worked there for about 40-some years. My mother's sister's husband,
mm-hmm.
plus all of my dad's family at one time worked there.
Uh-huh. This is very hard to keep track of.
You're
going to have to draw
the
chart.
One, two, three, there were four of them.
Mm-hmm. And your dad's only 9 brothers.
They retired from RIA.
They all retired.
4 retired from RIA. My gosh, I think that's wonderful.
Well, that, you know, begs the question, what was it about the RIA that made
well,
it such
was,
a popular
it was,
place?
At while, it was the place to work.
Yeah.
I mean, and it was, they were very good to their employees.
Mm-hmm. They paid well, or?
They paid well,
uh-huh.
and they had all kinds of family activities. I mean, like I said, they had the band and the movies were twice a week.
Right.
And they had two different features. They had a feature on Wednesday and a feature on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And on Wednesday they had two performances, a 7:30 and a 9:30. And on Friday they had three. They had a matinee in which all the kids in Lansing came because it was free.
Mm-hmm.
And then two performances, a 7:30 and a 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
And they were different movies twice a week.
Oh my goodness.
I well remember that. I used
yeah.
to go to all of those.
Did you get the Spirit, the little magazine that they put out?
Yes,
too?
And I gave the museum some of those.
Yeah, I've read a lot of those mm-hmm. down at the archives. They're very interesting.
I wish I'd had a chance to have your things here while we were talking, but...
Mm-hmm.
They're here someplace.
I know they are. I just haven't had time to inquire, and George hasn't been here, so
mm-hmm.
I haven't known really.
Now, you said your dad was in the union, too.
Mm-hmm.
Did he participate in the strike in 37? Do you know?
Was it 37 when they got locked in?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. March of 1937.
He wasn't in the union at that time. That was before the union.
That's when they tried to get the union in, right? Mm-hmm. Did he participate in that, do you know?
Yes, he was locked in.
He was. Do you remember that?
I do.
How long did that last?
I just, is that I, my recollection is over, kind of overnight, because the shop closed the doors and the men were inside. And at that time, the Rio had what was called a truck plant that was down on the corner of Washington and Mount Hope. And that's where he was working
further
that
south.
Day.
Oh, he was down there.
Mm-hmm. And so that all the doors were locked and the men couldn't get out. And when it got to be, you know, like 7 o'clock, he had warned my mother that there was, you know,
trouble.
Things going on.
Mm-hmm.
And but it got 7 o'clock, and she was one of these, back in those days, the wife had the dinner on the table when the man walked in the door, you know. And so dinner was ready. He didn't come, and I got 9 o'clock, and she said, well, he's been locked in over there, you know. And about 10 o'clock, he walked in the front door.
Mm.
And my mother said, well, it's all over with, you know. He said, no, it's not. All the fellas are still there. But he said, I was aware enough of the plant, but I knew where there was a window that they left open. And he said, I crawled out the window.
We heard about somebody else doing
somebody
this,
else
too.
Somebody else did
it, too.
Just overnight.
Then he went back in the daytime.
So it was about 10 o'clock when he got home. And I don't remember exactly whether it was in, they made him wait till the next morning to let him out. I don't remember. I don't recall that.
Mm-hmm.
But the management itself locked them in?
As far as my recollection is, the management locked them in to avoid the trouble.
Mm.
Oh, okay.
But that didn't stop the union because they eventually organized it anyway.
Yeah, and he participated in the union activities.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. He didn't see that as being a traitor to the company at all? But he didn't think that that...
No, because at that particular time, it was going on in a lot of different plants,
mm-hmm.
and of course the union was getting pretty strong at that time,
yeah.
So no, he didn't.
Right. It was right after the big sit-down strike.
And then, of course, when they put him on supervision, when he got his promotions to supervision, then he could no longer be a member.
Right. When did that happen? When did he get promoted to supervisor?
Oh, dear, I don't know. It was early. It was...
Quite a while after
he wasn't in the union all that long.
Oh, so it must have been around the time of the war, during the war?
He was there during the war, and he was active in the union during the war.
Oh, he was.
So it must have
been later.
Yeah, it must have been a little bit later than that.
Okay.
Hmm.
Okay.
What about the labor holiday?
Oh yeah. Do you remember anything about that? The labor holiday? Yeah, that was in June of 1937, not too long after the strike or the sit down.
I don't.
You don't remember that?
Everybody had the day off.
I should remember that because I was old enough, but I was too busy. Doing other things, apparently.
Yeah. Well, it only was, that really was only one day, and unless you were involved in some kind of union, it probably wouldn't have affected
you. He probably was, but I don't
recall.
Mm-hmm.
Your mother wasn't worried when he didn't come home at 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock. She kind of had a feeling.
She was kind of concerned, yeah. But of course, like I said, he had sort of prepared her that something might happen, and she was worried, but yeah.
But she kind of had a feeling that she knew
mm-hmm.
why he wasn't
mm-hmm.
here. It had something to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
Did he feel, later after the union got strong there, did he feel that it was a good thing to have the union, or did he ever say much about it?
I think he did, because it helped the men on the line, you know, to get more money, and the benefits weren't, well, the salary all the time he worked there was not what I would consider bad. They had no benefits to speak of, and so the union did help in that regard to get
mm-hmm.
you know, hospitalization and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, apparently around that time it was a thing to do. I wasn't too involved, so
mm-hmm.
I
yeah.
Mm-hmm. He stayed through working through the Depression, through the 30s.
Oh, yes.
He was able to stay.
And he was laid off at various times during the Depression.
Mm-hmm. So how'd you guys make ends meet?
Oh, I had an uncle that did cement work. And putting sidewalks in, that type of thing, and my father painted houses and anything to make money.
Uh-huh. And then when the times got better, the Rio pulled him back in.
Went back. Mm-hmm. He went right back.
And we've heard that happening a lot too. So
mm-hmm.
they really were loyal to their workers. Whenever
they were,
give them some work, they pulled them right back
mm-hmm.
in. Mm-hmm.
And I think too, it could have been partly. The name too, because like I say, all the brothers worked there.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Was
the family was known
mm-hmm.
that they were good workers,
mm-hmm.
and
I think one of my uncles, when he retired, was like 70 years old.
Is that right? And most all of your uncles work in production, down on the floor, so to speak?
Yep, and then, of course, gradually they would work their way up, too. One of my uncles was in the purchasing department when he finally retired and traveled around different plants.
Was that Ed Rankin we talked to that was in purchasing? No, he was in export.
I think it was Art Fromm.
I think it was, too. Maybe they probably...
Art Fromm was the one who went into the plant. His dad worked there, too, I think. Remember, I think he was the one that was in the plant during the labor hall, during the strike, to sit down.
Mm-hmm.
He just hung out with old men.
He
was
That's
like
right.
10 years old or something. His father pulled him in and said, have some fun.
And that wasn't a bad strike, like the one in Flint.
No,
oh, no.
He said there was never. He never thought there was going to be any. He wasn't scared or any violence or anything. Very low-key.
Well, I think that was probably the reason my mother wasn't, you know,
too
really
concerned.
All upset.
Real scared.
Mm-hmm. You said that the salary, the wages that your dad got, you know, weren't exorbitant, but they were enough to keep your family
going. Well, back in those
days,
no salary was, you know, very high.
Huge, that's right. But you felt that he could support
they did
the
very
family.
Well. They did, because my mother never worked.
She never had to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Except
well,
take care
of
you all.
At one time, she also worked at the reel.
Oh, she did.
Oh, she did. When was that? What did she do?
Before she was married.
Oh, really?
She did upholstery.
Oh, she was
at that time they were manufacturing passenger cars, and she did the upholstery inside.
Now, what was her name?
Gladys. At that time, it was Calder. C-A-L-D-E-R.
C-A-L-D-E-R. Oh, Calder.
Uh-huh. Also Calder. Have an aunt named Norma. She worked there.
What did she
time.
Do there?
Did you work there?
If it were still in existence, maybe
she probably would.
you know.
So she just worked there between when she, you know, when she was old enough to when she got married, basically, your mom, until she met your dad.
Yes.
Did she meet your dad there at the shop?
Well, when she went to work at the Rio, he was in the Army.
Oh,
so it was in the 40s already.
So it was
I'm sorry, in World War I.
Oh, you know, when you say the war, I think of the one I knew.
I know.
World War I.
Sorry, World War I.
I hope it was in World War II.
Sure, that's right.
We got to keep these decades straight.
When you get going back, it's hard.
I know.
It's
very hard. Very hard.
So
oh,
she worked there.
He was in World War I. Dad.
My dad,
was in the Army, was sent overseas?
Was in the Army, mm-hmm. Yeah, had a fantastic time.
He did?
When he was a child, of course, he went to both English school and German school, so he both read and wrote German. So when he was sent to Germany.
Oh.
Did he have any problems?
And he could speak, no.
He could interpret, though.
That's exactly what they had him doing, and he did the buying for the group. And he could go out and buy chickens and eggs, and
but the men loved him.
And the local people would sell it to him because he spoke their language.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they had him doing.
Wow!
And
he
ended up being a medic, though.
That's what my dad was too.
So was my husband's father was a medic in France during that war.
Hmm. Well, see, during that war period, then. He had left the Rio and enlisted in the Army.
Right.
But when he came back, he immediately went right back
to the Rio.
His job was open, and he could go right back to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did he know any of the owners or supervisors?
I'm sure he
real
did.
Big
I'm sure he
days.
Did. I've heard the names, but I didn't know any.
Mm-hmm.
But he did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he didn't. I guess to answer Shirley's original question, he didn't meet your mom there at the Rio. That's
no.
How they met.
No.
And what's, I just, you know, I'm interested in some information about your mom's family since she worked there too, same as your dad's, she came
well, it was just previous, it had to be there in 1918 because she didn't work there very long.
Right.
When they met and then when they married, she quit.
That was the end. Was her family from Lansing too?
DeWitt.
They were from DeWitt and they were farmers out there?
Well, actually no, my grandfather was a blacksmith.
Oh.
In the town.
Oh,
I've just been doing that a little bit too.
Oh.
That is very interesting.
Oh, wonderful.
The DeWitt Bath newspaper has been wanting some information, so I sent them a picture of him in the Splicemans shop. And so I'm getting in all this history. As I said, I'm beginning to feel really old.
They probably weren't where he was. Probably wasn't more happy about the automobile coming popular.
Well, it didn't. Yes and no, because as they got more popular, he installed gasoline pumps and.
Oh, so he updated his technology, right?
That's what most of the blacksmith shops did. They went into this other thing. Bicycle shops did the same thing.
But then he was a horse trainer, and so after he got so he didn't do that, he trained horses too.
Oh,
yeah. Racing horses.
Mm-hmm. So your mom grew up in DeWitt,
mm-hmm.
and then came into town to get
a
job?
Yeah, she came into town to work. Mm-hmm.
I don't even know where to begin. I don't know which relative to ask about. I really don't have any.
This is great. We've talked to so many people whose family, dad and uncles and aunt, you know, everybody. And it just seems to be such a unique thing where you don't run into that as much. I haven't.
Not now.
In the other places of employment, like the Oldsmobile.
Well, you have to think, too, that we were not a mobile society like we are today.
Yeah.
All of my uncles and aunts lived in the south end of town, which was near the plant. They walked to work. For years, I remember my father coming home for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, an hour for lunch, and my mother would have his lunch ready when he walked in, and he'd come home for lunch and go back to work, because he just lived, you know, two blocks.
Mm-hmm.
But my uncles did the same thing, and they all lived right around in that area.
Yeah.
But families were tighter knit. Them,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure it's because you couldn't jump on a plane and go.
No.
Number one, you didn't have the money, but number two, it was you couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm. Lifestyles have changed too.
A lot of other people have told us also that, you know, sure we didn't make as much money, but you know you didn't need as much.
You really
you
didn't
need to buy as much. You did more of it on your own. You made more things.
I can remember during the Depression, things got really tight around our house, but. Outside of that time, I don't remember any time when it was really, really, really bad.
Mm-hmm. Or feeling scared about not having enough.
My parents might have, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
They never transmitted that to me at all.
Right.
So when you grew up and your brother grew up, did you have any thoughts of going into the real to work too? Or?
Well, no, he did. My brother
your
did.
Your brother did,
for a while.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, you did say that. What did he do there? Production work too?
Yes, I don't know. I don't exactly know what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And he was only there a short time.
Oh.
What did I tell you? Five.
5 years.
Yeah. About 6 years actually. But there was a period in between there. I think he told me it was 1948 when he was laid off and he went to work for Board of Water and Light. But then when things picked up, he went back to work a short time.
Oh. And then he went.
But I don't know why. I don't know why he left either. I really don't know why he left.
Well, maybe he got something better.
He might have.
Hmm. Did your parents, aside from the family, which was obviously a large part of all of the, you know, everybody's life that you're describing to us, did your parents have social life through the Rio? I mean, the people that your dad met, the plant, become people that you
not that
family
much
was friends with?
Because all the family lived in the south, then
right.
It was more of a family thing than it was.
The co-workers.
They had friends, but it wasn't
necessarily through the work.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any things that your mom did that was connected through the Rio?
Only the short period she worked there.
Yeah, but not, like I know from my own research, the Rio had picnics for the whole family.
They would go to
those kinds of things.
They went to those. Now, I don't remember any of those.
You don't?
But I've heard them talk about them.
Mm-hmm. Where the whole family was supposed
mm-hmm.
to come.
Mm-hmm.
And she went down to the clubhouse, too.
Oh, she went down there a lot, yeah.
But you don't know if they had any organizations for wives or anything like that, huh?
Not that I recall.
Okay.
The only organization I really recall is that steering gear club.
Right, which your dad was part of?
Mm-hmm. And they did a lot of social things.
Uh-huh. That was later when he became supervisor, right? Because the steering
gear
was...
Well, it was before that, too.
Oh, even?
Yeah.
Even before that?
Mm-hmm. I don't exactly know when that was established. I really don't know much.
I think it was sometimes in the 50s, wasn't it, the steering? Oh, it must have been 40s, because that... little menu you showed us was
mm-hmm.
from 48.
48.
So it must have been sometime after the war.
But they would have dinners for ladies' night, but mm-hmm. which that was, and every year they had a Christmas party, which my daughter said she was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a Santa Claus. Every child got a gift, and it was a complete dinner.
Uh-huh.
Turkey, dressing, the whole
right.
thing.
I've heard about that from other people, too. And also gift baskets for poor families.
Mm-hmm.
The steering beer club organized, or the ladies' group organized at the girls' club.
This was 1948.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of anything. Most of the things I wanted to ask we kind of talked about. It was interesting, this first time we've talked to anybody who was actually on one of the teams, your father being
yeah.
on the baseball team. This is the first time we've been able to talk to anybody that really
remembers that.
And when my husband yeah. went in the Navy, he was playing on the team then, the baseball
mm-hmm.
team.
Mm-hmm.
They had a big, the whole team had a big party for him at the clubhouse. A
oh.
going away party.
A going away party.
And then he went in the Navy.
Great. And then when he came back...
And then
back,
when you speak about unions, when he came back, he went back to work at the reel. But he wasn't there only a few weeks after he got back when they called a wildcat strike.
Oh, really?
And he quit.
He didn't want to go through the strike.
And who this was
my husband didn't like it.
This would have been somewhere in 47 or something like that, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
I don't... My mother was working there too. But
yeah,
I don't know
much about this strike.
I remember there were strikes, but I didn't
yeah.
know about
that. I don't even know what
what
it was about or anything, but I know it was a wildcat kind of a deal. It was, and they did it on the spur of the moment, and he just said, if that's what they're going to do, I'm done, and he quit.
Mm.
Where did he go from there?
He went to Paul Automotive, actually, which is also a local business, and he worked out there for 47 years.
Did he retire from there?
Mm-hmm.
And your dad retired in what year did you tell me?
1961, December the 29th, 1961.
They must have given him a big party at the clubhouse.
They did.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people there.
A lot of people.
So he got his full retirement benefits and everything that the folks didn't get that were there up toward the end of things.
Yeah, he did.
It was Diamond Reel.
But then when they went bankrupt, of course, it was taken over by that pension guarantee fund. But
His pension was taken.
Well, after they went bankrupt.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I didn't realize that would affect somebody who would retire years
yes.
before that.
Sure.
I thought maybe that
was
already etched in stone. And
there was no money. When they went bankrupt, there was no money.
You can't squeeze blood out of stone.
And so then it was, then you got this, the federal, it's a federal program. The pension.
That took it over.
And that went through the courts for several years, so
right.
were people without their pension while that was dragging through the
and
courts?
And if it had not been while he was working, they had they initiated a contributory type retirement plan, which he donated to for my mother. Had it not been for that, she would have gotten no retirement when he died.
Mm.
But because it was a contributory plan, the pension fund also guaranteed that. She didn't get very much, but she got a little.
But she got something. And that was after the
and it was based on what he had contributed for her.
Oh,
but of course, that's what the fund was set up for. It was for that type of thing.
Good thing it was.
And it's a good thing it was.
Yeah, somebody else mentioned that their pensions were taken over by that fund also.
Mm-hmm.
They appealed to that fund. I can't remember which one of the people we talked to.
Several of the early ones, Mr. Green talked about it,
yeah,
and
Louis
Garcia talked about
that's
it.
Right.
And we've been having a wonderful time talking to folks, just, you know, getting all these little views and window peeks into the past. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, like one woman we talked to whose dad also worked at the Rio told us that she remembered sitting at home with her dad's piece rate slips and tallying up his pay every week for him.
Oh,
she
that
was a child,
Mrs.
Osbaugh. Yeah. Do you remember anything like that?
No. To my knowledge, my dad always punched a time clock.
Oh, he was on an hourly.
Until he got on supervision, which
yeah.
then it was a salary. But
yeah.
But he was.
Well, he must have had some kind of a piece rate arrangement, because that's what she said. That was one of
now,
her
my
very
mother,
earliest memories.
My mother was on piece rate.
Mm-hmm. She did upholstery.
The upholstery.
And
I don't know how. I don't know how they figured that. Whether it was per piece or whatever. I don't. I don't
so
know
much
how that
per
was
hour,
figured.
Maybe, and so many pieces per hour.
I know there was you had to produce so many pieces, but how that went, I don't know.
They probably had a production failure.
Yeah.
I know she said she made very good money because she got so she's pretty clever at it.
Okay. Good with her hands.
That was really the only place in those early days that they had women in the shops, right? I think so.
Yeah.
Or maybe some of the office workers.
And I don't really know. My aunt only worked there a short time, and I don't really know whether that's what she did or not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
What kind of hours did your dad have when he was working there in the early days, do you remember?
Yeah, it seems like it was 7:30 to 4:30 for years and years and years and years.
Oh.
And then during the war, he went on the 4 to 12 shift because he was a foreman or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I took that night shift.
Mm-hmm. The evening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we just talked to a guy who worked 12-hour days, 7 days a week during the war.
Oh,
well,
yes. Yeah.
And some of the war production.
Mm-hmm.
Cost plus and all that.
Yeah. Couldn't imagine it.
When my husband worked there, they were packaging, he worked in the parts department, and that was just before he went in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And they packaged parts for real trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all packed somehow in a sack, and then they had to be waterproofed because they were going on the ships. And,
that's
and they were dipped in all types of things so that they wouldn't rust. And
Visine mm-hmm. and stuff, probably.
Mm-hmm. And that's what he did.
Cool.
When he went from different types of job, you know, as he moved his way up.
Now that was my dad, yeah.
Did he get training or did he learn the things on the job?
I'm sure along the way he got all kinds of training, but he was an electrician at heart, and so he really had that type of a mind, and so he'd acted very well, which is why he worked so well in the experimental when he got there, because...
But they never sent him for a
He went to MSU a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But they were a short thing, like maybe a week or two or something like that.
Uh-huh.
It was not a regular full-fledged course.
Right. But the Rio sponsored mm-hmm. him doing
yes.
that sort of thing.
And I can't tell you now, there may have been in that box a couple of books that he got out there, but I'm not sure that they were. I thought there was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We'll
have to look through that.
Yeah.
Can George get that out for us? Yeah. And it may be on display out there, too. I don't know.
Yeah.
Everything's so changed around, and I haven't really had time to look in the cases.
Yeah, we've heard that from a lot of other people, too, that the company really invested in its workers. You know, if they
mm-hmm.
felt that somebody could be good in another department or doing something higher up, they would send them for some training or teach them something new.
I'll have to tell you a little anecdote
good.
About,
those.
about how well-known Dorito was at that time. My mother, because they lived down there, when she would go downtown, she like to walk, so she'd always walk from where they lived downtown, and so she and she would do that about once a week. And so she went shopping one day, and when she whatever she purchased, she left her purse on the counter, and she walked home, which took her a little while. When she walked in the front door, the phone was ringing, and it was my dad, and he said, "You lost your purse today, didn't you?" She didn't know how he could possibly find that out that quick, and they had called her from the store, and they looked in her billfold. The card that they used to get into the Rio movies was in her purse, and they called from the store and told him that her purse was there.
Oh,
and before she got home, he knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
That's a real sign of the times. Could you imagine mm-hmm. something like that happening today if you leave your purse?
Your street you lived on was right off from Washington.
Oh, yeah.
Washington.
South
yeah.
Baptist Church is
yeah.
on the corner.
That's what I was trying to think, right
the
up
house
there by Sparrow Avenue. And
the house that my parents live in is the very first house past the South Baptist Church parking lot.
This is on Moore's Drive?
It's right off. It runs down to the park, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Down to Moore's Park?
Mm-hmm. But you see, the Rio was on the corner of Baker Street in Washington, which was,
mm-hmm.
you come down Moores River Drive and take a little, not even
yeah.
a half a block,
yeah.
and you're there.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I was thinking, if she walked up Washington, she went right by Ariel's house.
Yes.
On her way down.
Oh, I did that going to school.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
So
we always had to stop and look at the fish pond because they always had goldfish in it.
Oh.
Yes, they had a pretty yard because I used to do that too.
Oh, yeah. And a wrought iron fence all the way around.
That's right. I've forgotten that.
And a humongous big stairway. I remember standing there in awe because they went up this large front porch and it was monstrous.
The stairway
mm-hmm.
and the porch too.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it at the time, but I've heard later about his turntable in the garage.
Oh, yeah.
He could drive in off from Main Street, drive onto that, and turn.
You know why that was, why he did that? Because his wife couldn't back up.
I didn't know that.
So he put that in so that when she drove in the car in there and she wanted to go back out, they'd turn it around, she'd drive back out. Because she couldn't back it out.
Great. Well, I remember trying to drive, learn to drive when the cars were big. Mm-hmm. By golly, that was a problem. That was quite a house. I felt so bad with the tour.
I did too.
And of course, the clubhouse being torn down is another heartbreak. We've got two chairs out here from the clubhouse.
Right, and in that box that I gave you are all kinds of pictures of the fire and that destroyed the plane.
Really? Oh, we've got to have a look at that.
Yeah.
We had a woman called me, actually, because she saw the announcement in the paper that we were conducting interviews. I've got to call her and go out. She lives out to Vestaburg. I'm not even sure exactly where that is. I know it's...
Oh, it's off
east and south of
Worcester, Carson City, 53?
Oh, Vestaburg's not that way.
Yeah, it's in Montcalm County. Oh, sure.
I'm probably not going to get that right away quick.
It's in Montcalm County.
But she's got a collection of photos that she took the night the plant was burned, or burned, shall we say. And the pictures that you've got in your box are...
snapshots.
Mm-hmm. You took them?
That's what her
name was.
Your father took them.
He did.
He felt terrible.
He did. He must have looked out and saw it starting. And
there must be pictures of the day they tore the clubhouse down, too.
There must be pictures in there of that, too. That really upset him. That really upset him. He did not want that torn down.
He was there and watched it go down.
Mm-hmm. And there must be some snapshots in there.
Oh, I can't wait to look at that. When you brought it in at the time, I never had time to look at it.
Mm-mm.
Back in those days, I was wearing about 8 hats. And I
know.
And now I'm only wearing, 4 or 5.
A normal life.
Only now I can choose which hats I want to wear. So. But anyway, I'm anxious to see those. I'd like to see those pictures. You've seen the pictures that you have in there, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Were those pictures of the fire when it was totally engulfed? Do you remember?
I'm not sure it was that. I think it was more like after, because I think that burned in the summertime. I think they were at the lake, and when they came home, he went down and took pictures.
Okay.
But then they told him when they were going to knock the clubhouse down, and that's when he went down. I'm sure there were snapshots in there.
Okay. Great.
I was always curious to know whatever happened to the absolutely gorgeous organ they had in that.
Yeah, we've been asked about that a lot.
A lot of people we've interviewed have talked about that organ. And
it was beautiful.
At one point here, there were two organs, one in their home and one in the clubhouse. I have a feeling that the one in the clubhouse was much larger.
Oh, it was
the other way around.
The one in the clubhouse was a theater organ.
Theater organ.
In the balcony, I can visualize it still. Up in the balcony, they had it was as large or larger than this room with the pipes in.
Mm.
And the loudspeakers that came out, and the organ was in front of it.
Mm.
And it was a big theater organ.
Oh.
And they always had, it was always playing. When you would get, I don't know what time they started playing, but when you would get there, we always got to the show before the 7:30 movie would start, and the organist was playing at that time concert music so that you could...
Oh, my.
And they did that before the 7:30 show and before the 9:30 show.
He probably played for all other kinds of events. I wonder who the organist was. Probably had seen her for a long time.
Yeah. At one time, it was a young lady by the name of Emma Parr.
Emma Parr.
P-A-R-R-R. That was in later years. I don't know who it was earlier on, but she did it in later years.
We've been given the name, right now it escapes me, but someone who managed the clubhouse or something.
Yeah, he lives out... I can't remember where, Potterville or something like that.
Yeah, we're going to need to get in touch with him, and he maybe can tell us a little on that. Well, someone called the museum here in 87 or 88 from Idaho. Yes, Idaho. And they had the organ out there, but I have a feeling it was the organ that was in the house.
I think so, too.
And they had
an organ room in his house.
Mm-hmm. In the ballroom, I guess. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to sell the organ back to the museum here. And we got kind of excited about it for a while, but it was just financially out of the question to buy it.
I never found out. I don't know where this one went, but it was a pipe organ.
Maybe we can find out sometime.
It was
should find out what happened to it. As much about the clubhouse as we can, really.
Mm-hmm.
a lot of things got trashed. We've talked to a lot of people, yeah, and different visitors have come in here over the years that have said, I pulled this or that out of the trash because they were throwing it away. Jack Down saved a lot of papers.
Oh, did he?
And things,
yeah,
that were going to be just burned up or done whatever with.
I know, I don't know who had the final say-so about that, to destroy things like that, but I think it was terrible.
Yeah.
I think the city did from wherever.
That's what I thought too, that I wasn't there for the blame.
Yeah. Well, since I said it, I'll take it. It has been reported to me by anonymous sources.
There you go.
And who was telling us about the big chandelier that was the steering gear?
Oh, the steering gear.
That was the big chandelier in the clubhouse that mm-hmm. where the steering gear club met.
Mm-hmm.
And that chandelier is somewhere in the Lansing area.
I don't know, but I
can't remember
where. It was some restaurant. I can't remember where.
Oh, I said I wondered if it was the one that was...
It's Clara's.
It is in Clara's?
I bet it's in Clara's.
I went out to, the poorhouse restaurant. Out behind the poorhouse, there's another little restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
It's attached to it and everything, and it's gone through about four different theme changes and management changes. And in the bar area, I just happened to wander through there. And in the ceiling, there's this huge thing. But I don't know if it's that one or
that's
not.
Right,
but it's shaped like a big gear.
Yeah.
And I'm going to, call my husband.
I have been told that in Clara's, they have a stairway in the back that goes up to the balconies.
Mm-hmm.
And on that mural post is a figure that is a lamp.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've been told that that came from the Irish.
Oh, really? Oh, that'd be easy to check.
Yeah,
call
sure.
Ross over there and listen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've gone by that many a time and never really gave it a
I've been told, I don't know how true that is, but I've been told that that came from
I'd like to think there's some pieces in that clubhouse, around in the
interior. Can I get back to your family a little bit? I'm just curious about your dad's brothers, all your uncles who worked at the Rio. Were their work histories similar to his? You know, they settled in the Lansing area and got jobs at Rio early on
mm-hmm.
and stayed
yeah.
there pretty much their whole
yeah.
lives.
As a matter of fact, that's how come he went to work there because
he was a baby and they had
mm-hmm.
all gone before him.
Mm-hmm.
So their oldest one must have started pretty much close to the beginning of the plant.
I think so.
Right?
I think
just
so.
When it opened. And did they stayed throughout much of their work lives?
Yeah, like I say, there's four of them that retired from there.
Four of them retired from there. Okay. Do you remember their names? They're your uncles?
Well, I can tell you.
They're all your uncles, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And their last names
sure
are
this
all...
I'm not sure this will be in the order of their age.
Okay.
First one was Rudolph.
They all have German names, huh?
Mm-hmm. And then Charlie,
okay.
And Julius,
great
and Otto.
Oh yeah, that's
they're all German names.
Uh-huh.
That's great.
Well, Frederick. But,
Frederick.
Mm-hmm. Now I don't know how this one got in there. Eugene.
They were Americanized by then.
Robert. William.
Grandmother must have been very sad to have all these boys.
The youngest one, Gustav, my dad.
Yeah.
And she had one girl.
And she did. Girl. Oh, good.
Oh.
Bertha.
She must have been a busy mother, though. My goodness.
My dad always used to say there was eight boys, and each one had a sister.
No. That's cute.
What a clan. That's
and without
great.
Usually there's an older daughter in the family to help mom, but in this case, she...
Only with the younger ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where did Bertha fit into all of this? Was she in the middle, or...?
Probably third or fourth in the end.
Somewhere in the middle.
Kind of in the middle.
Okay. And do you remember which one of the ones that you mentioned
mm-hmm.
retired from Rio?
Rudy did, Uncle Rudolph did. And Julius did. He's the one I told you. I think he was 70 when he retired.
Wow.
And Eugene retired from there. As a matter of fact, Eugene Jr. was there when they went bankrupt.
Oh, he was. Is he still in the Lansing area?
He's in Houghton Lake.
Houghton Lake.
Mm-hmm. And then my dad, of course.
And then your dad. And the others did too. All worked there too.
They all worked there. They
moved
they
on
left
at some
yeah,
point.
And Bob ended up at General Motors.
Did they all do similar
and Uncle Fred ended up at John Bean.
Okay.
Oh, what a nice street.
Did they all pretty much do the same types of work, starting out pretty on the low, on the line, and then working their way up little by little. What a history. Wow.
They were such a big family that, this is nothing to do with the reel, but once a month during the wintertime, they would have euchre parties. And they played progressive euchre because there were so many tables.
These guys? These mm-hmm. 9, 8 guys?
Mm-hmm. There wouldn't be room for them all on table.
They would get together socially.
Mm-hmm. Once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And
they had
prizes and food.
Uh-huh.
And
all the families?
All the families went.
Uh-huh. And they all had families?
I can remember when they were, while they were playing cards, every place you looked, there was a child leg on the floor sleeping.
Great.
Yeah,
I love
that's
that
a wonderful
image.
It's
family.
That's wonderful. And they all had families and lived in the Lansing area, close by.
Bertha and Bill had, I think, 6 or 7 children of their own. The rest of them didn't have that many, but...
Uh-huh.
So they must have gone through all the French and Eastern, most all of
Wow.
You and your brother?
What was Bertha's married name?
Farr.
F-A-R-R.
Mm-hmm.
Women are so hard because they have so many names. Keep track of them that way. Wow.
Well, Ruth, did you go to Easter?
Yes.
Did you know Benjamin?
Benjamin Lair? You know, I wanted to ask you that.
Well, Rudolph was his father.
Oh, my gosh. He was the assistant principal.
Well, then you know Faye.
Oh, is
Bob Gardner? Used to be?
No.
Okay, that's his wife.
My girlfriend used to babysit for them, and they had little girls.
Martha.
Martha.
The babies, the little girls in
Donna's age.
Oh, okay. My girlfriend babysat there. I was terrified of him.
Probably.
Because he never smiled, and he always scared me.
He'd
been in the Navy, hadn't he?
Was
he? He was a big fucking cat.
Oh, now you tell me.
This was Ben Rudolph's son.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
he ended up principal at Everett High School.
That's what he did. When my husband was teaching there, and my husband liked him, I said, sure.
I suppose he can.
You weren't a student that was, you know, had skipped school one afternoon.
I will tell you something that my daughter was surprised at when I told her. He was an absolutely marvelous pianist.
Yes,
And he played by ear. He could sit down and play anything.
That's right. There's a piano. There was a piano in her home too. Wasn't there?
Now the last I knew, Faye still lived there.
Oh really? Right there across the
Lindbergh Drive.
Lindbergh Drive, out by Potter Park.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. My girlfriend lived in the same area, and that's how she, I think, probably started babysitting. She just lived down at Harding.
That's Rudolph's son.
Well, isn't that interesting? I thought about it right away when I saw your name was Laird, your maiden name, and I thought, I wonder.
Well, with that name, all of them are.
Lairs are all
together.
Tell
there's
me,
enough of them.
There's lots of little lairs running around yet, then,
oh,
so you can still
yes.
all get together.
Mm-hmm.
Like you
they have. We have. Well, I don't go much, but they have a reunion every year.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, all of the older ones are now gone. They're all. So this is all my cousins.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see. God, I just wish I could have been at some of those euchre parties and listened to what they said about their work. You know?
Oh,
yeah.
That would have been interesting because, like I say, they all worked there.
Right. So they must have talked about...
I would imagine.
...things that went on at work.
Of course, it was terrible. You wouldn't have understood them because what they didn't want you to know, they talked in German.
German.
Well, that's clever.
But then when they found out that some of us kids could understand it a little bit, they had to switch you off.
All the bad words your wife would have allowed to say for the children that could say in German.
Correct.
So do you speak German?
No.
No?
No. And I've gotten away from it so much now I don't understand it, but I did understand quite a lot of it. Well, my grandmother, like I said, lived right next door to us, and so as she got older, she would lapse more into German, and
German
so she taught a little bit of... My husband had a terrible time. He'd say, what'd she say? Because it was half German and half English.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I could understand it fairly well, but I've gotten really away from
it.
Well,
you're not used to every day.
But her son is taking it to school now.
Oh, that's great. Get back to the roots, huh? did all the wives of these boys pretty much stay home and care of their families?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They didn't have to go out of work or anything like that?
Most of them didn't.
No, they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Which meant
and it was interesting, too, because, like I said, they all lived in this south part of town, so that... It was nothing for one of them to walk over to the other one's house to visit for the afternoon or have tea or whatever, you know, take
so
the children along. The children played together while they had chit-chatted.
Mm-hmm. So they had a lot of family support, too. Mm-hmm.
And they had a problem, you were all there to help.
They kept it that way, you know,
yeah.
Because they... And the men would be at work, the women would go visit.
When they had time. With those big families.
Well, but, you know, they took the time.
Oh, sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, those were the days where you did the spring cleaning and the fall cleaning and all that in between, you know,
uh-huh.
The baking and the ironing and the...
Washing.
The washing and
the ironing. Baskets.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a lot more household work that was real work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just throwing the clothes into the washing machine.
You know,
but you know, they organized their week. You did certain things on certain days.
They did.
And that's how you got the work done.
That's
right. Otherwise, you'd be lost.
They got most of their provisions and food and stuff from local stores, right? Local grocery stores in
mm-hmm.
the area.
Now you're going to ask me where they are, and I don't know.
No, I'm just curious, because, you know, a lot of the... yours wasn't really a farming family anymore, but a couple of other people we've talked to had relatives out in the outlying areas who were still on farms.
Oh,
and
uh-huh.
some of them used to say that in hard times they would go out there and get some things to tie them
mm-hmm.
over.
Well,
so that's why I was curious.
My parents had a huge garden.
They kept a garden still.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, most of them did.
They had gardens
had
for that.
A garden plot in the backyard.
Yeah. Did any of them, did they mostly own their own homes?
Yes.
Houses? And did the Rio help them with any of that? Mortgage
no.
or?
No.
Nothing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
At that particular point in time, I don't think that was even... They even thought of anything like that.
Okay. Yeah. I still have to do more work on this, but I think the Rio company did own some land that houses of workers were on. I don't
they
know.
Might have.
I don't know if they actually...
Rental houses, probably.
Yeah.
I'm not aware of that.
Not
okay.
These proud Germans.
They wanted to own
that's
their
right.
property. Well, and they could, and that's great. I mean, that's
yeah.
good, too, that they were able to do that. Most of the people we've talked to have owned their own homes. There have been a couple that didn't, but most of them did.
I think Rio was a very important part of the Lansing community.
Oh, it was. It was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just too bad that it ever, you know, went the way it did.
Well, the story of your mom's handbag showed that everybody knew the Rio,
mm-hmm.
and everybody could identify somebody who worked at the Rio and knew.
And on Friday afternoons after school, when they would have these matinees, I can't remember exactly where they started, 4 or 4:30 or something like that. We always went to school until 3:30
mm-hmm.
in the afternoon. I think it was something like 4:30. I can talk to children that came from all parts of the city. They'd walk down the railroad tracks, or they'd walk down. Well, what we used to call the River Trail, which was along the Grand River, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it was up.
That's
the
what road. You did, right?
And they came from all over the city. The place was packed with kids coming to that movie
mm-hmm.
because it was free. And
mm-hmm.
I saw my very first talking picture there.
What was it?
I was gonna say, do you remember
Jackie
what?
Cooper in The Champ.
That's wonderful. That's a great classic too.
I'm a real old movie buff, so I love things like that. Well, that's great.
Actually, I can remember one that was there. It was before the talkies, and it was called Mystery of the Wax Museum, and all the kids were behind the seats because it was such a scary movie.
That was my experience with Tom Sawyer, too, when they were in the cave.
Oh, yeah.
That
was the science fiction one you were always talking about.
Oh, there was one, and I don't remember the name of that one. I wish I could remember that. Way back when I was a child, and this was supposed to be a picture of the future.
Oh, yeah.
And it was way ahead of its time. There were no automobiles. Everything was airplanes.
Oh.
The policemen were in balloons that were anchored to the ground, but they were in a balloon to direct the air traffic. They had television. When somebody came to your home and rang the doorbell, the television screen came on, and you could see who was down there.
Contemporary surveillance.
Wow.
I was a child. The plot of the thing was this man went out and was playing golf, and he got hit on the head with a golf ball, and it knocked him out.
Oh.
And when he came to, this was what was happening. And it was all into the future.
My goodness.
And the name has gone completely from me. I would love to remember
yeah.
what that was.
But you obviously remember the film very well.
But I remember that
yeah.
very well. It just impressed
it
me so.
Way ahead of its
yeah.
time, wasn't it?
It was in black and white. It wasn't even in color. Right. Was that far out, you know, far back.
And it was a silent, or was it a talking?
Now that I don't remember. Mm-hmm. It seems like it was a talking.
It was a talking.
I think so, but it was a black and white one. I recall that vividly.
Yeah.
And now that I told my children about it, because now we have the television.
Right.
We have, you know, the airplanes that go all over and all.
But it's still really futuristic with the idea of the caller at the door being on your TV monitor type of thing. And
but I do not recall. I don't even recall who the actors were or anything. But it was so impressed on me. I've told them about it so many times.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that at the reel.
It probably was in the 30s.
Probably, yeah.
I would think it would have been a talkie then, because
I think it was a talkie, but it was not a color.
No, I don't think we got color till the late 30s. Wizard of Oz and the
Wizard of Oz
was
39. That was a big deal.
The Technicolor was brand new process.
It was a big deal then. Did your dad ever say anything about how the Rio changed over the years that he was there?
Yeah, of course it did. I mean, with the advent of the Union, it changed a lot, you know.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the benefits and things.
During the war years, it changed a lot because they, at that particular time, when he was a foreman, and he had to hire so many women, which they had never had before.
Right. You know. How did he feel about that?
He didn't mind it.
He didn't think it was for the war effort, so...
Did he think there were any real problems having the women in the shop?
The only problem I ever remember either him or my husband ever talking about was how sloppy they were in their bathrooms.
Oh.
They were worse than men ever thought of being.
Is that right?
Oh, that's funny.
He didn't, and they were always complaining about this wasn't working and the, you know, either the toilet was stopped up or
something. Oh, dear.
But there is one thing that Dale Robertson, the movie star, had the reel build him a customized horse trailer that was air-conditioned, and it was a real deluxe-type job. And he personally, when it was done, he came to contract for it, and when it was done, he personally came and picked it up.
Hmm.
And I don't know what happened to the picture, but my father met him because he was one of the people who helped to do this.
Oh, is that right?
And he had his picture taken with him in the trailer. I don't know what happened to the picture.
Oh, I hope you come across it sometime.
I can't remember it.
I can remember going down to the plant that day. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm. When he came to pick up his trailer.
He was a very handsome man, wasn't he?
And they threw open the big double doors where the truck came out.
And then the thing came out.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to the picture. The picture's gone.
I can't find it.
Mm-hmm. Was there a big crowd of people that came in?
Oh, yes.
All the workers and all the families. And it was a big, I can remember because it was a big day. We toured the plant that day. And then they had, I think it was ice cream and cake.
I think ice cream and cake or something.
For the kids.
Yeah. Mm. They all went over there.
What do you remember about what the shop looked like inside? Was that your first time in the shop?
No, it wasn't my first time, but I can remember the thing I was really impressed about was how they dipped the parts into these big vats of cake. I just thought that was the greatest thing, you know. That was
like dipping an ice cream cone.
Yeah, you know, like some of the assembly lines, and we'd dip them down and come back up, and they were all painted.
All the different parts in the truck.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And were you surprised at the noise or the...
Not really. I mean, when you walk by, you don't hear any noise.
The thing I think about, which in the end made it burn for such a long time, and they had such a time getting it out, was that in some of the parts of the plant, they had wooden block floors.
Oh, God. And they were saturated
with oil.
That's right. We've heard about that.
And that's what made it burn for such a long time and why they couldn't put it out.
Right. And we heard also every once in a while one of those blocks would disappear.
Mm-hmm.
So there'd be these big holes when you were walking there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My mother talked about a stock truck driver who went on his stock truck went through one of those older floors and was killed.
Oh, really?
I remember that so clearly. His name was Johnny, and he was apparently a very small, wiry kind of person, and he was a lot older. This is during the war, I think.
You know, I just was thinking, too, when my husband first graduated from high school in 64, he went to work for Coke, and he used to deliver Coke That's
right.
Oh.
I just was thinking about that when you were talking about it, because he kept talking about those old wooden floors.
Speaking about that, I neglected to tell him that my grandfather worked there too at one time. During the war, he was an older man, the one that had the blacksmith shop I told you about.
From DeWitt.
And they needed somebody to restock the candy machines and do that type of thing and sweep and do a little maintenance and everything. And he went to work there. He worked there for, I think, 2 years during the war.
Mm-hmm. This was
Grandpa Keller.
My mother's
dad.
Do you remember what his first name was?
Frank. I think he worked there 2 years during
the war. So during World War One.
Mm-hmm. And he stocked the candy machines, and he was an older man, so he couldn't do anything really physical, mm-hmm. but he would sweep if they needed sweeping done or cleaning up or whatever.
Candy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I think his badge is in that box, too.
Really?
And I think my dad's badge is in that box.
I can tell you his badge number. I even wrote that down.
Oh, my goodness.
Your dad's?
Uh-huh. The clock number is what they call
that's
it.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. He did.
90-4165.
There's something else. Oh, more about this, how things have changed. Did he ever talk about how the production changed?
Well, of course, early on, they weren't as mechanized as they were later on.
He started in
1918. With the paint that she was telling me,
right.
You know, they did everything spray painted and that type of thing. But, like I said, my mother did the hand upholstering, and they did everything but the...
Oh, hand by hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My dad owned, as a matter of fact, three reels. He had a 1920 and a 1929 and a 1936 reel.
Oh, he had one of the last ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So even right at the beginning, he was able to afford a car, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. That's how my mother got him.
I want to hear this. How did this happen?
Oh, dear.
My mother was rooming and boarding. While she worked at the Rio, she was rooming and boarding with my father's brother, Fred, that's on there. And because her family lived in DeWitt, and so she stayed here in town. And Fred kept telling her, when my younger brother gets home from the Army, you have to meet him.
She was boarding with his family, right?
Mm-hmm.
She had a room in his family's house.
Mm-hmm. And so that when he got back, that's what he did. He bought a car. And when she came home one night she went home every weekend to DeWitt. When she came home on a Sunday night, this car was in the driveway, a brand new, beautiful car. And so when she walked in, Uncle Fred said, I want you to meet my younger brother, Gus. And she said, boy, she said, if I had a car like that, I'd be going for a ride. I wouldn't be sitting in here. And he said, well, come on and go with me. So she did. So the next weekend, when she went home to DeWitt, she told her boyfriend she was no longer interested.
So we can say in this case, Shirley, a Rio brought them together.
There you go. That's a very unique story.
And you have to know my mother.
Romance.
My mother's a very shy person, and I cannot, I did not hear that story until I was years and years later. And I just looked at her and I said, Mother, I can't believe that you did that, because she wasn't that type of a person at all. But she did then. And she got it.
It's been a little guardian angel sitting here saying, this is the one.
Oh, that's very funny.
That's a real romance.
Oh,
I hadn't thought of it that way, but a real did bring them together.
A real brought them together.
Mm. What year was that? A 1920. A 20. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
oh yeah.
That was just beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Great big.
Yeah.
They had
a
fabric top.
Uh huh.
You know. And if it rained, you put these side curtains on and had running boards. And
But it didn't have roll up and roll down windows.
Didn't have any windows.
Didn't have any windows. 1922.
It had in the side curtain deal, it was always open, but if you put in the wintertime, they had these little isinglass little things, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Parts from those cars Kyle brought down here.
That's right. My grandson, that when he moved into the house, cleaning out the garage, found a lot of parts which he brought down.
Oh,
Oh, are they all part of the same donation? I mean, no.
He brought them down separately. He brought them down after
okay.
I brought mine.
Good.
His name gotta be around here somewhere.
His name is Kyle. He said that he and his wife brought them down.
Kyle Grimwood?
Mm-hmm. And there should be some parts of some kind.
Well, did he bring down the lawnmower too?
He was going to bring down the lawnmower, but they said they had enough of them they didn't want it.
We got like a back room full of lawnmowers.
That's how I got it at my house.
We used to think, I can remember when little in Grandpa's garage, we used to think there was a whole garage. I mean, a whole car in parts.
There were so many parts.
Mm. Oh, he used to do
parts
repair.
Were real
he liked to do
yeah.
tinkering
yeah.
stuff.
And he
yeah.
repaired cars for people a lot of times. They'd drag them over, and especially reels, because that's what he knew. And
yeah.
they'd say, this is making this kind of a noise, we're making this kind of a noise, what do you think that needs? And he'd replace them.
Hmm.
So he did that. So, of course, he got all these parts in the garage.
Besides the women in World War II, did he ever say anything about the types of people, how it had changed over time at Rio?
With maybe the quality of the people and how good a worker they were, you mean? And
oh, I'm sure that's true because that was a thing that happened all over.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any people that has loyalty to a plant.
Anymore
like they had.
Yeah. So he could see that that's changing, or you think that he thought that was changing?
I think so. Well, I've heard him say so.
He did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Towards the end of the time he was there, after
yeah,
the war?
Towards the end. Yeah, after the war. The times did change because they employed so many females, for
right.
one thing, which was completely different.
Right.
Because you know, they didn't...
Starting the war.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A lot of those kept their jobs after the war, too, didn't they?
They did what?
A lot of the women kept their
oh, sure.
factory
yeah.
jobs
some of them
after
did,
the
yeah.
war.
Mm-hmm. Well,
not all of them, but a lot of them.
When I graduated, I worked at Oldsmobile for a while, just before I got married. But they had a hard and fast rule at Oldsmobile that if you married, you had to quit.
Oh, really?
And you couldn't work there. So when I got engaged, I had to quit.
Hmm.
And then the war came along, and right after that, they were clamoring for people,
yeah.
women.
Yeah.
Did they ever reinstituted anything like that, a marriage bar or anything after that?
No. No. Mm-hmm.
That war turned the world upside down for all kinds of ways.
It did.
Changed
it
everything.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people came in from the South. A lot of people came from other parts of our country to work in
yeah.
the shops.
And last
and
just grew, too, because different people were coming here for work.
Yes, it did. And it was more of a little... family type town too for such a long time,
right.
you know, and it just grew.
Do you think it was World War II that was the period that it changed, or was it later?
Well, I think that probably started it, but I think
that
it was later
it
when it really got, you know,
mm-hmm.
when the other factories grew,
like
you know,
the OSC,
mm-hmm.
yeah, like that changed the makeup and the
mm-hmm.
tone of the town.
But I can remember for years before she was born, during the war years, my two boys were very small. And every truck they ever saw was a real truck. I mean, it was
yeah,
Grandpa's real truck.
Oh.
Every truck was Grandpa's real truck.
Yeah.
Well, you saw reels on the street all the time, whether they were owned or being test driven.
Well,
it was a reel.
I've seen some still.
We just saw one the other day. It was a beatable one, but we saw one.
I can even remember that, though. Even after it was diamond reel,
mm-hmm.
there was a lot of trucks on the street that
mm-hmm.
were from testing.
Right.
You know,
right. We just asked somebody, where were the reel trucks tested?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, on the street.
Yeah, all around town.
All around.
I remember that when I was
mm-hmm.
growing up, too. They looked so funny with maybe not even a cab,
yeah,
maybe just
together.
The driver's
yeah.
seat
mm-hmm.
on the chassis.
Of course, the amphibious trucks. I mean, they went out to.
Did you ever see one of those?
Oh yeah,
they did.
Grandpa worked, and that was his baby.
That
he
was his baby. He loved
that.
He thought that was quite a thing, and nothing ever came of it really.
The Eager Beaver, and you saw it tested in the river.
Yeah, they went out to
Gravel Pit.
Grosvenorburg Park out there is where they tested it. That's all in that box too. All
mm-hmm. okay.
That test, it showed the back of where it was.
Now those are photographs too.
There's photographs of the test day.
But all the schematic drawings are in there too, the measurements and things. Because your diagram before they tested it on the water is mm-hmm. in there.
I can remember him sitting down at the kitchen table at home at night.
Drawing
and figuring out we had to use so much styrofoam to mm-hmm. tomorrow
make
to
float.
Make it float.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, that one didn't work, so now we got to try it. I remember mm-hmm. seeing him do that night after night.
So he helped design the eco paper.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he really went up, he came a long way from where he started.
Really?
Yeah.
And then he'd go with him to test
and it was basically his loyalty to the plant that really...
Uh-huh.
He did all kinds of, like she said, at home,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, was over and above the call of duty.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. And he did that for a long time. I can remember him coming home and drawing little bitty lines on things and putting it, marking it as to measurement and all that
mm-hmm.
to take back to work the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the
thing. Yeah. Actually, I think in addition to the people we've been interviewing saying about the family feeling.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I think almost everybody's talked about is how proud they were of what Rio made.
Mm-hmm.
The trucks and the cars.
Mm-hmm.
The cars in the beginning and the trucks eventually. Just no matter who they
proud
were, no matter where
they
worked.
Proud to tell people where they worked.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't matter whether they were in the factory or management or office work. All of them have said that they thought that the Rio truck.
That's remarkable too, because you don't generally see a finished product when you work in a factory, and I think that's especially interesting to think that they feel proud of that product, because you rarely ever see the finished car.
Right.
You know, you see this piece that you do every day.
But you can't be loyal to a company the way that your dad was.
No,
unless you feel really strongly
mm-hmm.
about what the company's doing.
They would send him. They sent him to someplace in Pennsylvania one time. And they sent him a couple of times to Ohio. When they would have a problem with a truck breaking down or whatever, and they couldn't figure out,
what
places down there couldn't figure out what the problem was, they would take him down there and he would figure it out and drive him home or get him on the road or whatever.
Hmm.
Yeah, many times he's done that.
Harrisburg, maybe, where the factory is now that still makes the trucks.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right, but maybe that's where it was. I don't know. And I know of several places in Ohio that he went down. The client would send a driver in a car up for him and take him and bring him back.
That's interesting.
He did that for...
So he was like an area rep?
Kind of, yeah.
Troubleshooter.
Yeah, dealer representative.
I guess it was maybe too, because he could figure out by listening or looking.
He must have been really good.
He was. I thought he was.
A good mechanical
mind. Of course, I'm prejudiced, but I thought he was. And of course, like I say, he had all that loyalty to the plant that you don't find much anymore.
No.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother had it too, even though she only worked there a short time, because it was his livelihood and it got him where they were. She had it too.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, and it went down to my kids. They got it too.
So when you graduated from high school, you probably covered this earlier in my memory. Did you go, you said you worked at Olds for a little while?
Mm-hmm.
Did you go from high school to that?
I went to business college. Then I went to Olds.
Oh, okay. And did you work in the office then?
Yes, I loved it. I worked, it was the very first hydromatic drive. And I helped to put the new owner's manual together for that.
Oh, my.
You did? That must have been the 40 model. Because the business group we've got out here is one of the first hydromatics. That's a 40.
I would have been 39 about that time. Yeah, it would have been about that time.
Wow.
I loved it. It was really interesting.
How big of
it? I did the paste-ups and the typing. And the
That's like almost publishing. You know, what they would say, desktop publishing. Yeah.
But see, that's another place where the Rio was way ahead of its time, because they had an automatic transmission
before
Oldsmobile ever thought of it.
That's right.
My dad had one. I don't know which car it was, but he had one.
But there was something else, too.
But people wouldn't buy it. They were afraid of it.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, they wouldn't buy it.
Like us with an electric car, I suppose we're thinking, I don't know.
Well, see... My husband worked in the automotive parts for years and years, and he said there's no reason we couldn't have had an electric car years ago.
Yeah.
Well, there years and years ago, Mrs. Olds had an electric car.
Yeah.
Well, 1902
or
3 or something like
our
that.
Our neighbor had one.
Really?
Uh-huh.
And, of course, it was just for tootling around town, but that's basically what the other ones are going to be
for. No. No.
They'll go a little faster.
The one that they really developed, that fell in Florida, would go miles, miles and miles.
Well, they're going to have to, because in California that's going to become a law in a few years for a freeway.
But my husband said they could have developed a battery many, many years ago that would go a long way.
Well, gasoline companies have got...
And of course, that's the other thing, too. He said they could have made a car that would have gone 500 or 600 miles on a tank of gas, too. But you see, the oil and just...
Well, they could make a car that wouldn't wear out, too, but then who'd buy a new car? You know, it's all tied up in politics.
It is.
It's tied up
it
in
is.
Economics. It isn't necessarily what we're capable of developing.
Sure. And I think that's part of the reason that I think the real would have been in business probably still if they'd have kept on manufacturing the cars.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
Well, and the trucks too, really.
And their trucks.
Yeah.
Well, of course, once they started selling off parts of it, everybody that bought it took something out of it,
yeah.
So it was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it lost its integrity in a lot of ways.
Well, it lost its identity because it was no longer a real.
Yeah.
It's almost like our cars now, like the Oldsmobiles, mm-hmm. really an Oldsmobile mm-hmm. anymore. The parts are from all over the
That's
world.
Right. They want you to buy American, but how can you do that?
How do you know?
you can't do it because everything's shipped in from someplace else,
mm-hmm.
and they just put it together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But I think that when they lost their identity with that that quality,
did it help to do it in too?
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, when you get management that comes in and doesn't have that loyalty feeling, doesn't have a feeling of wanting to make the place
mm-hmm.
a success. And that we heard people say, too, that the building was getting so old and there were so many big, expensive repairs that needed to be made that was an economic drain.
If they had kept it up when it should have been kept up, which they would have.
Along the way.
You know,
yeah.
It wouldn't have been that way. I mean, Oldsmobile is not a new plant by any way, shape, or form, and they still keep
mm-hmm. keep reinvesting, putting money back into
the And look at the building down there that I say is a truck plant down there on the corner of Washington and Mount Hope. I mean, that's warehouses now, and what is it? Naked furniture is in there, and...
Oh,
so the building is still good,
mm-hmm.
you're saying,
so,
the floors mm-hmm.
Well, as a matter of fact, I forgot what they called the plant across Baker Street that they had a ramp that went across for years and years, and they've got all those little stores and shops in there now. It was
Calvinator and John Boone,
yeah.
or the other way around.
But that was partly real, too.
Yes, it was.
For years,
time.
That was real.
Yeah.
And they had a walkway that went across Baker Street that you fellas went across. I remember going across that night.
Did you? I remember going under it on the bus.
Well, I walked across it.
It was like a big catwalk, like is over the river here from the Lansing Center to the hotel.
Oh, yeah.
It was that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It wasn't that pretty, but.
No, it wasn't. I can't remember what they called that part of the plant now, though. I know that
well,
was a truck plant down
there. Somebody told
then.
Us early on in our interviewing process, it might have been Mr. Green right at the start, I'll have to listen to that tape.
Yeah.
He talked about that. In fact, I didn't realize, you know, that had been part of the real. To me, I knew it as the John Dean
mm-hmm.
and the Nash Calvinator during the war.
Nash, yeah.
So I didn't realize
that.
See,
now, Nash Calvinator was also down in what I'm calling the truck plant for a while, too.
Oh, was
that
it?
That part of the real.
On Washington and...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no,
and back in behind that truck plant there on Washington was the real park, and that's where they played ball.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, just to the south of that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
And they played ball there still when my husband was playing, just before the war.
That right. Would that have gone over as far as what we used to call the old fairgrounds at Logan and...
No, not that far down.
Okay. I read a lot about the sports, baseball, they had bowling in the clubhouse.
They had bowling out
right.
in the basement, yes.
And the city, they were part of the city leagues,
mm-hmm.
and they always get real excited about how well the real people were going to do in the
now
city
they had
leagues.
Bowling. They had bowling teams right up until just almost before they went bankrupt.
Uh-huh, yeah. In the clubhouse still.
No, not in the clubhouse,
not
but
clubhouse.
They had the they
oh,
belonged
the local
to
local
they had teams.
They bowl locally,
I
say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't remember. They took the bowling alley out of the clubhouse for years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
they eventually moved it down in the basement of what was the Michigan Theater.
Was that the old
yes.
real bowling
yes.
alley? In the sort of the Strand Arcade.
Mm-hmm.
I bowled down there.
Well, I bowled, I was there.
But that was moved from the Rio down there.
I didn't know that. That is interesting. Mm-hmm. And now it's all offices down there.
Yeah, is it? I haven't been down there in years and years.
It breaks your heart.
There was another game that I read that they played, but this may have been, I don't know if you would have known about it. I think it was called Quoits or White
Quoit.
Quoit. Quoit.
It was like a ring toss sort of thing.
Oh,
right?
That's
I
right.
I don't know. That's right.
It'd be like horseshoes, only it's a rope type of ring.
Oh,
that you uh-huh. throw. I think it's
these are just things that I read about in the spirit when I read the spirit, and they would talk about the guys going out and doing this. And
one of those, and it's not one that I had that I brought down, but there in one of those spirits that tells about my birth.
Oh, really? Oh, that's right. They did announce that, and they had pictures of babies in there, too.
My picture was not in.
Oh, okay. I remember they also had an article about a premature baby that was born to one of the real orchids. Well, I had a premature baby. So
I wonder if they'd let me take some of the spirits home from here. I've never had a chance to look.
The reason
so
mine was in was because at one time I was the only baby in Lansing that was born on Christmas Day.
Oh.
Oh, you're a Christmas baby. Oh, so that was extra special.
Yeah.
And my dad's birthday was the 24th, so.
Mm.
Is that right?
Christmas Day.
You must have gotten your picture or something in the Lansing State Journal then, too.
I didn't
being
get a picture
Christmas
in,
baby.
But I've got a clipping from there.
That's the kind of thing that they would have made a big deal about
yeah,
the spirit.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think several times it was in as being the only Christmas baby that was born, but then later on there were a lot of them.
Yeah. Well, they were just copycats.
My mom was born on January 2nd, and her parents used to give her so much grief because if she had been born one day before, they would have won some money.
Oh, that's right. The first baby of the new year.
So she got off on the wrong foot with that.
Right from the start.
Right.
Well, what else can I tell you?
I can't think of it.
This
either.
Is the kind of thing is I got to go home and then I'll probably have 10 more questions, but I can't think of anything right now.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for talking to us.